Glad you're here. Good music. I was thinking, Ed, on that one song, that first one there. What was that called? What was that you liked so much, that first song? I was saying, I remember that was the theme song. Did anybody see the movie Glory? Did y'all, anybody ever see? That was that theme song, and I remembered it. I said, that's the theme song for Glory. So you haven't seen Glory? Okay, you have. That's a good movie. It's worth seeing, but that was the theme song for that. The 54th Massachusetts Brigade in Civil War. It was the first black unit formed in the Civil War, and Colonel Robert Shaw, a little 20-something-year-old captain, was given command of that 54th Massachusetts. And it's the story, and it was a real unit, real people, and it's the story of what happened to all them. And that was the background theme for that, if you haven't seen that movie. And it's a tough show. It's not full of, you know, no sexual stuff and all that, but it's Civil War. It shows what happens there. And it shows all that they went through to be soldiers. And it's worth seeing if you haven't seen Glory. It's a good one. I've been given up here. Who put this up here? Is anybody going to confess? Did you? Who put this? Nobody's confessing. Okay, it's Gene Autry's cowboy coat. And I didn't know Gene Autry had a cowboy coat, but it says the cowboy must never shoot first, hit a smaller man, or take unfair advantage. Sounds like some things in the message. He must never go back on his word or trust confided in him. He must always tell the truth. Well, he's not in politics then. No cowboy will get to go there. He must always tell the truth. He must be gentle with children, the elderly, and animals. And he must not advocate or possess racially or religiously intolerant ideas. He must help people in distress, must be a good worker, and keep himself clean in thought, speech, action, and personal habit. This is really good, actually. And he must respect women, parents, and his nation's laws. And the cowboy is a patriot, and that's Gene Autry. I didn't know that. That's pretty neat, though, isn't it? I think he had it together. Well, I like him. I've always liked watching Gene Autry anyway. And oh, who was that? Who was his sidekick? Buchanan? When it all, anyway, oh, I'm sorry, dating myself way back there. So. But you got to remember, you know, I gave Noah a little bit of help on building the ark. So, you know, I've been around a while, too long, really. Today's message is out of Philippians chapter 4. You're familiar with this passage. If you're not, you'll be familiar after today. And the title of it is Choosing God's Best to Live God's Best. And with everything the way it is and stuff starting to escalate, and you're going to see more weirdness, and we've been cautioned about this and everything, but there'll be more and more weirdness and stupid things happening. You know, regardless of which side of the fence you're on, I don't get up here and hammer you with politics. And it's like, would you like to? Yeah, I would. But I only have a very short time each week to talk to you about Jesus. I don't have time to, you know, but I will tell you, you know, do the right thing and take your stand and you know, and just don't be mean with it. Just be strong with it. That's the thing. And I was given a t-shirt. I started to put it on, and I thought, well, I don't want to make somebody upset, but, you know, I like it anyway, but thank you for it. You know, I said guns, and anyway, it's kind of neat. And but, you know, I'll show it to you after a while. I put it on after church. But Philippians 4:8, always, he said, always be full of joy in the Lord. Okay, this is Philippians chapter 4, and I said 8, beginning with verse 4 through 8. He said, always be full of joy in the Lord. And immediately when you read this, when I first read this, and I look in notes, and I say, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I'm thinking, I flunked that one right off the bat. I turn on the news, and I'm not full of joy in the Lord. I read something, I'm not full. Are you? Is it, you find it's really hard to be joyful these days? It's just, I mean, one thing after another, and I'm so tired of wearing a mask. I really am. I'm not trying to harp on that. But you go in and you have to wear your mask and wear your mask. You say, well, it's for protection. I know. I get all that. But I'm just tired of it. And then I start feeling bad. I put my mask on and I'm breathing through the thing. And then I start feeling kind of weird because I'm breathing, too much carbon dioxide buildup, I guess, in the mask. And it's like, I think I'd rather risk it than have to keep breathing this all day. And it's like, so what you're saying, Tony, is you can't stand the smell of yourself. That pretty much, that's what it is. So always be full of joy in the Lord, rejoice. And I'm thinking, what did he have that I don't have? Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. And this is the New Living Translation I'm reading from today. Often I use the New Living and then the New International and sometimes the New King James, but this one works good for this today, so I'm staying with it. And he says, let everyone see you're considerate in all you do. And he said, remember this. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Well, I don't know about you, but it's okay with me. It's, if he wants to do that, that's okay. And he's coming soon. So here's what he says. And friends, we need to grab this. We need to hold on to this. I know I've worked this into other messages, but here we are again because it's important. Don't worry about anything. And that is very difficult to do, but yet that's the word of God, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And God's peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Everybody getting this? We read this and it doesn't soak in, but I'll go back over it. And now, dear brothers and sisters, he says one final thing. So he tells you not to worry. He tells you to be joyful. He tells you all these things to do. But if you're not careful, you don't catch. He said, you won't catch his solution. He said, and I'm going to tell you without saying the words. He said, now one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is. And he names the things that if you'll fix your thoughts on these things, you will rejoice. You won't be worried. You won't let the things of this world get to you. And so he's not just telling you like a lot of pastors do, and I don't like those kind of messages, where they tell you everything you're not supposed to do, but they don't tell you how not to do it. They tell you all the things that's wrong in your life, and they don't give you any solution about what to do about it. Well, he's giving you something to do about it. That's why I always try to bring as practical a message. I don't want to ever bring anything in here that there's not God's word on how to do it. What good does it do you to hear all the stuff that's wrong in your life and no way to fix it? And I heard that all my years growing up. Did a bunch of you'd hear all these messages and nobody told you what to do about it. They say, don't eat too much food. Don't do this and don't do that. Well, how do I keep from doing that? And I'm thinking the guy's preaching that. If you ask him that, probably say, I don't know. It just says not to do it. Well, the word of God explains itself. And here he says, fix. He said, you want to rejoice? You want to stop worrying? You want to have things in your life and experience God to the fullest? Then fix your thoughts on what's true. He said, first of all, focus on truth, God's truth. No matter, what does that mean? That no matter what's happening around you, God's truth still wins out. It's what God says, not what they say on that side or they say on that side or what the media says over here. It's what God says that's going to make this thing work. That's what's going to come out and make you a winner in the end. It's all going to be okay. So anyway, he says, fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. He said, if you focus on these things, the world can't steal your joy. You'll be all right. You won't be worried. You'll be able to trust God and look forward to Jesus coming, and it's going to be okay for you. You'll experience God's peace. He said you're going to have all this if you focus on the right thing. And so choosing God's best, if you want to live God's best, you've got to choose his best. And he said you can choose to focus on all this crud that's going on out here in the world, or you can choose to focus on what God says or is the character of God, those things that'll keep you on the high road above all this. And so he says you do these things, and you think about things are excellent and worthy of praise. And then he keeps on saying, and then he goes on, and I didn't include that, but you can read all this before and after. And he, what he's saying is, you just put into practice what you've learned and received from him, and it's going to be okay. Now, I didn't include in this, but I want to just share with you just a moment. There was something that led to this. that caused him, you know, that God inspired Paul to write this particular letter. There was a couple of ladies in the church, if you read in verse 2 of this chapter, they had a disagreement. And they had a little church fight. And he said, I want you to help these two women. They worked hard with me. They got into it with each other. And so he gives this as a solution to that all that problem and for the church not to get caught up in this problem. And how many times, if you've been in church much in your life, how many churches have you been in or involved in where a couple of people, man or woman, didn't make any difference, got into it and then they wanted to draw you or somebody else in on their little side of the coin, right? And before you know it, it's a whole big issue and everybody's gotten their eyes off of Jesus and their eyes are all focused on the problem and the problem people. And so these two ladies got into it. So if you want to know, church fights are not new. People problems are not new. This is the very early beginning churches and they're already having problems. And so they were having issues. We'll call it issues. And he wanted to stop the issue, and he said, these are co-workers, they're good people, and often it is good people, and they just get crosswise, and things happen. So he wrote this, and he said, come on, be full of joy in the Lord, and I'm going to tell you to do it. Focus on the good things. So let's just start with these little bullet points here, and we'll look at some notes, and won't keep you here all day or anything. But just discuss this a minute. And first of all, choosing God's best, to live God's best, first thing is, remember this, and I do want to say this really strongly. Everybody, listen, I'm going to say this as strongly as I can. Only God can make you happy. That's it. Okay? Okay, that's it. I'm closing. That's okay, no, not really. Listen to this. People marry hoping the other person will make them happy. Oh, I already heard some. Okay, that doesn't work, does it? Okay, so we know what we're talking about here, okay? Anybody else had that problem then? Okay, others, anyone? Okay, you thought the other person would just fill that place, that gap for you, where you were lacking in all the things that they're going to make you happy. How'd that work out? Okay, I hear moans and groans all over the place. There's heads nodding. So we know that's a bad one. Let's don't stay on that one. Now, obviously, we stepped in a real mud puddle on that deal. But we think people will make us happy. Here's another thing. Boy, you talk about a real... We think if we find the right church, it'll make us happy. We think if we find the right pastor, it'll make us happy. We think if we live in the right place, it'll make us happy. If we just get that new truck, it'll make us happy. And it does, till the payments start coming in. And then it's not so happy anymore. You know, isn't it amazing? You know, you get something like that, and you're just so thrilled. It's like, oh, you've been there, Tony. Oh, yeah. You know, you get a truck, man. You just our car, whatever it is you want. But you know, you get that truck and its foil drives, got all the stuff on it. You know, boy, can haul everything, and you're just thrilled. And then the first few payments, but then about a year or two later, you just hate that stuff. Why did I ever do? What was I thinking? And the joy is gone. And you're struggling, or maybe your finances change, and it's just, but here's the big thing. You talked yourself into it, and here's what you did. You told yourself, like we all have, I'll just cut this and this and this, and I won't eat as many hamburgers, and I'll trim out this. You knew you were lying when you did that. You were just lying to God, lying to yourself, and I won't do this anymore. Maybe you did that for the first week, month, 3 months. But then you want those other things you're used to having. And, you know, that extra hamburger comes back in. We just won't go on trips like we used to and spend as much money. Did that work? And so you go back and you want all the things and then the payments and it becomes a burden. So that's not happy. And so look at the things we've done and still do in life that we think will make us happy. And in the end, what he's trying to get us to understand is if you put your faith in people making you happy, you're going to be one of the most disappointed people on earth. If you put your faith in a church making you happy, you'll be a very disappointed Christian. If you put your faith in a pastor to make you happy, you will be disappointed. Why? Because it's one thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's how this works. I can get along a lot better, realistically, if I put my confidence in a guy I see on TV, because I don't have to see any of his weaknesses, flaws, being late, not dressed just right. He's got a whole staff of people to make sure they brush his hair and put it in place and put his little makeup on. See, all that is staged. And I'm not saying you don't hear good messages. I'm saying that when you come in here, I can't hide from you. And pastors can't hide from their people if they try. And if we start trying to live up to all those expectations, all we do is climb ourselves. We climb that ladder. We get so high it topples over. You with me? We want to meet all those expectations, and then one day we're standing on top of a very unstable ladder, and it comes crashing down, and then everybody's broken and shattered. So, you know, you can't put your faith in me, you can't put your faith in the pastor or church, can't put your faith in the new vehicle, can't put your faith in a home, you can't put your faith in land, you can't put your faith in anything except Jesus Christ. That's the only way to be happy. Listen to me. All the things that we think will make us happy never do. And that's all he's trying to say. You know, and so many people I've had to counsel through the years and still do, and they said, I just thought if I married that person that they'd make me happy. They made me, we've all been there. They made me laugh. They made me feel good. We all been through that, right? We like being around people who make us feel good. The problem is, what happens when they are having bad days and they need you to make them feel good? And then it doesn't work so good. So the whole thing is this. There's nothing in this world that's going to make us happy. And I want to tell you something. Friends, listen to me. I know that there's a lot at stake in this upcoming election. But no matter what, that's not what's going to make us happy. There's some things that could help. It goes a certain way or whatever, but that's not the point. Here's the point. Regardless of what happens in the next few weeks, regardless of how this thing comes out, friends, our greatest challenge is to not get caught up in all of that too far, but to bring it back and get to the basics and keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus and realize Jesus Christ is the President of the United States. That's who you got to vote for. Whatever you do, ask yourself, what can I do to be voting as close to Jesus as I can? And, you know, it's pretty tough. But Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that's who you got to focus on. He's our President. He's our CEO. He's our Commander-in-Chief. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And keep your eyes and focus and pray, and realize it's Jesus Christ that's going to make my life, no matter nobody out here in office, nothing else. Jesus, your will be done. Jesus, you intervene. Jesus, you take the bull by the horns. You do it. And my job is to pray and to trust and believe. Amen? That's where it is. That's where this thing is. Our victory, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And I want to tell you something here. He said, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I want to grab this real quick because it's important and get back to something really practical here. God did not say, he didn't say that you had to be happy about every circumstance in your life and certainly not every bad circumstance. God doesn't want us to be acting like idiots. I've had people, and you have too, something will happen. You ever wanted to hit another Christian? Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay. and I know we say that laughingly, but I mean, you obviously something's wrong in their life, right? I mean, they've had a tragedy, you know, whatever. And you try to talk to them, and they're really trying to do this, but it's so fake. You know, they're trying to follow this and be rejoicing and everything. And so, you know, okay, so, you know, you turned your truck over, and it's in pieces out there and all that, and you're all banged up and stitches in your face. And you're saying, you know, well, how are you doing? You know, you're wanting to show them some sympathy. Oh, it's just great. Praise the Lord, brother, I'm just fine. And you're thinking, your britches are burning up all over you, pants on fire, you lying. Why don't you tell the truth? My face hurts. My truck's wrecked. I don't know what I'm going to do, and I need a lot of prayer and support. Don't you just, what is this? And it goes on all the time. That turns people off to God when we're not honest. You with me? You know, and they just praise the Lord. Yeah, they just found something in me, but praise the Lord. It's going to be, it's just great. It's all good. It's like, I want to hit you. I want to add one more lump to what they found. It's not good, and it's not anything you're going to be praising God for. Well, you know, you will praise God here shortly, but right now, why don't you just admit, I'm just scared witless. You know, I got a cut right here. I bit something, and it cut into the side of my face. And every time I try to chew, you ever had that happen? You bite that place, and it gets this little white spot around it. And then after about a week and a half, you know what your mind's telling you? Cancer. That's how the enemy works. I mean, really, you know? And I had to go to the doctor, and that was one of the things. I said, I got this place in there. I looked in there, and I'll rinse it out with mouthwash. Mouthwash. Don't you have something, you know, put a needle in there, stick it full of something. Let's get rid of this thing. You know, I keep biting it all the time. And he said, well, you know, and then he has to tell me, well, you know, you keep irritating something, irritating over time. He said, that's what turns into these cancers. It's like, duh, fix it. I keep biting it. It won't get well. And then your head starts working against you. Right? That's how the enemy works. Anybody, am I the only one that's ever done this kind of paranoid thing? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's turning into something. I could feel that going right through my face. We do that kind of stuff, and there's no joy. We lose our joy. We're not happy, and we let the enemy, we let our own head, we let our crazy thoughts get the best of us. And then the more I think about it, the more I bite it. The more you think about whatever it is that's an irritant to you, you get it. The more you bite it. And that's just why the enemy plants those thoughts out there. And when we live in such a fearful world and all this crazy stuff, and you don't have to be happy about the bad circumstances. Well, you say, well, what is he talking about then? Be full of joy in the Lord. Here's what he's saying. You don't have to be happy about a bad circumstance, but be full of joy that God is bigger than that circumstance, and God knows what to do, and God will do it. That's what you're happy about. I can be crying over here or upset or really worried about something and trying to give that to God, but there can still be rejoicing in my heart at the same time that no matter what puny little things I'm going through, God is the great physician, God is the great provider, and God loves to give. God knows the situation, and God knows how to take care of it. As a matter of fact, God has the answer to your problem before you have the problem. That's what he's saying. And I'll take care of it. Go ahead and cry it out. Get the shakes. Get over it. You don't have to be happy about that circumstance, but you can be happy that I, the Lord your God, am in control, and I'll take care of it. So be happy about it. Three of you shook your head, and the rest of you just looking. What were you saying? I like being unhappy. I'm addicted to unhappy. I crave unhappy. As a matter of fact, we're laughing, but sometimes we do, don't we? I realize that there's more addictions. There's more addictions than sexual addictions or drug addictions or alcohol addictions or food addictions. There is the addiction to being unhappy and dysfunctional, and I don't want to leave that. And maybe sometimes that's the worst addiction there is being addicted to being the victim in life. You ever thought about it? And it's easy to become addicted to being a victim. I have to think about that a lot and get my head wrapped around a whole. It's like, God, it's so easy to be, to just get caught up in being a victim. Everybody's against me. Life's against me. Nothing ever works out. Everything I try just falls to pieces. You know, every time I think it's going right, either. Somebody hear this in your heart? Is this happening? And you get really down. And you say, everything I try, you're killing it before it gets started. God is saying, yes, there's bad things. And things in this world won't make you happy. But keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's already overcome all this stuff. He was crucified. He rose again. He's seated at the God's right hand interceding for you. Friend, listen to me. Listen to me. Here's what he says in Romans 12. I want to give this to you. He said, I appeal to you. You can read this whenever you want to. It's in Romans 12. It won't be up here. He said, I appeal to you by the mercy of God. Present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. He said, this is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. You hearing this? He said, don't give in to its worries, its struggles, its belief system. Don't dress and act like this world. Don't think like the world. And listen to me, I have to get up here and bring these messages. And yet I realize that I struggled, not every week, but a lot of weeks. I'm struggling with stuff I don't even realize are offered to me by the world. You know what the world says? You should worry. You should be concerned. You should be in a panic. You should be at this. You should be that. The world's constantly trying to tell us how to conform to its ways. And God is telling us, no, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of my mind, so I know what God's will is and so I can live it. You can read that over in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. That's the key to it, friends. Don't let the world conform you to its ideas, to its fears, to its worries, to its destruction. Because the world is slowly, and the scripture tells us this, is heading towards destruction, and we don't have to go along with it. Because we're headed somewhere else. And you keep your hope and faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, listen to this. Determine to really live and just do good. Determine to live and do good. Here's what he says. He says, be full of joy, rejoice, let everyone see you're considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming soon. And so what's he saying? Be considerate. He's just saying, determine to live, really live and do good. I started to say, determined to be nice, but then I was like, that's a little puny. So just determined to really live and do good, be good. He said, you know, what does scripture say? Let your gentleness be known to all people. You know what gentleness involves? It involves just being humble, just humility, kindness. You know where that comes from? You see, where does true humility and kindness like that come from? It comes from being confident in Christ and who I am in Jesus Christ. You with me? You know why a lot of people are not considerate, why they're not as gentle and loving as they need to be? Because they're not sure. They're not confident that Jesus really loves them and forgives them like he says he does. Many, many Christians are not sure, really sure, about their relationship with the Lord. They're not. And if you're convinced in your heart that Jesus Christ loves you enough to die for you and rise again for you, if you're confident in your heart that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then you have the confidence to walk out here and love other people and forgive other people, accept other people. Why? Because you know God forgives and accepts you. You can't give what you don't have. Why do many, many marriages suffer? Because we don't have in our hearts what God wants us to have to give to the other person, to give to that family. And that's his sacrificial, understanding, accepting, giving, forgiving love. You can't have a good marriage unless you can forgive the other person, unless you can accept all their strange ways. If you really want to know a person in depth, just marry them. If you want a shock of your life, marry another person. Has anybody ever experienced marrying someone thinking you knew them, and after you're married a little while, you realized, who is this? I heard a pastor, Korean pastor, years ago, and he was at that time the largest church in South Korea. And he was over here and doing a conference, and he was talking about that, and he married his wife and all this, and then he was talking about, you know, then there was hormonal changes and all, and he was just so funny up there listening to him. But and he said, I can't do the accent, but he said, my wife, she have a demon. I've never forgotten that. And he said he went to God, she has a demon. Oh my goodness. It's like, friends, we don't have demons, but we're all human. And it takes the love of Jesus Christ, really, truly, the transforming grace of Christ in our lives for us to get along with other people. You can't make yourself love somebody. You can't make yourself get along. You get along because you're getting along with Him. Everybody with me here? If I'm right this way, I can be right this way. And it'll be all right. And I can rejoice. And things will work out. So I tell people when we're working with them and we're trying to work through marital difficulty and stuff like that, or friendship difficulty, whatever it is, it's like, let's stop talking about this people thing right now. And where are you with God? And it's like a shock. What? Well, where are you with God? Because I can tell where you are with each other that we're not where we need to be with God. So tell me about your relationship with Christ. Do you trust Jesus with the forgiveness of your sins, all of them? And inevitably I'll hear, I think he forgives me, what, for most of them? Yeah, I'm not sure. There we are. Now we're getting down to the root of it. So if you're unsure, then you're going to be unsure. And you're going to cause unsureness. Friends, listen. If you want a good life, let your gentleness be made known to all. How do you do that? By letting the gentleness of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord, take care of me. So let me say this, and you say this is really basic. It needs to be said. Jesus Christ loves you so much, He died on the cross for you. And if you'd have been the only person in this world, He'd still done it. You're made in His image. And the blood of Jesus cleanses you from every sin, and that means every sin. Even if you killed somebody. Every sin. You need to let that soak in. Because if you will, and you realize that God accepts you unconditionally based on your faith in Jesus Christ, your repenting of your sins, He accepts that. And Jesus died in your place on that cross. And He rose again. And He's up there right now. And He's at the right hand of God the Father. But He's here with us, present through His Holy Spirit. And He's trying to tell each and every one of us, if we'll just listen, I love you. You're forgiven. I accept you totally and completely. No conditions, nothing, based on your faith in me, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Lord. If you'll do that, then He'll give you the love in your heart, the acceptance in your heart, the goodness in your heart, the righteousness in your heart to get out here and really, truly live God's best and be able to get along. Listen, the only people we shouldn't be able to get along with are those who don't believe and don't want to get along. You with me? I can't be matched to unbelievers. I'm supposed to love them, but I can't run around with them. Well, I can't. We have nothing in common. So anyway, let's just go to this third point. Got to watch my time here. Third point. Listen to me. Only God can give peace and self-control. Did you know that? Scripture talks about the peace of God and self-control. Remember the Lord, don't worry about anything. Tell God what you need and all this stuff. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. What's He trying to say? It'll guard your heart and mind. Why? Because if I let my heart, if I let my mind get out of control, I lose my temper. I say things I shouldn't. I do things I shouldn't do. And so to have that kind of thing, realize, no matter who's president, who's in Congress, no matter what, we will not see peace. We can have more peace based on certain things, but you're not going to have true peace. This world is not headed for peace. The peace that we as Christians must seek and go for and desire and accept into our lives is the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Is everybody with me? I'm seeing too many Christians panicking and getting upset over this stuff. And listen, let Jesus Christ control you. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be worried. Anxious, worried. Worried, that means, they use that word anxious, and it's a better word than this one right here. But he says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Well, anxious and worry, and it means in the Greek, don't be upset and out of control. So don't get out of control with anything on this earth. And when you see yourself doing it, and we all do, stop what you're doing and ask God, help me. Help me focus, Lord, on what I've got to do. Listen to me. You can defeat anything through prayer. Listen to me. Through prayer, through faith. But one thing that's left out so often, you can defeat everything in your life by a willingness to commit yourself and all around you to Jesus Christ. You ever think about it? Have you ever given your truck to Jesus? Your home? Have you given your husband to Christ? Your wife? Your friends? Have you thought about it? How many of you have given your children to Christ? Good deal. Good deal. And realize that you are the steward, an under-shepherd. You're just exactly what I am here. I am not the shepherd of this church. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. I work under him, under his authority, but he is the head of this church. Jesus is the head of Full Life Fellowship. Jesus is to be the head of your home, of your life, of your heart. Nobody else, nothing else. Jesus is to run this thing. And Jesus is to be in charge of every marriage, every relationship. Give your kids to Jesus Christ and keep them in his hands. And realize, I'm the under shepherd. I am only a steward. God gave these kids, and they're his. He created them. He's using me for the influence and to raise them for him, not for me. If there's anything that I would say to any number of parents right now, and I want to so bad, you know, I want to get on national television and say this, quit living your children's lives. Quit pushing them to do things they don't want to do. Just because you weren't a star football player doesn't mean you got to live it through your son. Now, there's, you know, you say there's practical thing, right? There's something causing this, right? There is, because I've had to work with people, and I had this one incident, well, several, but one main incident where a lady was just about to have, a nervous breakdown, because her daughter wasn't. She's not the top cheerleader. And she's having a breakdown. And finally, you know, I had to come to it and say, this isn't about your daughter. This is about you. You didn't make the cheerleading squad, did you? Well, I made it once, but not after that. And so you're living it through your daughter now. And you're putting a pressure on her she can't manage. And look how many people push their kids. And they're more involved in the game out there than their kids are. What's happened to us? These kids belong to Jesus Christ. Are we here to encourage them and coach them and teach them God's ways and God's word? Yes, and God's will. But we have to let them be who God made them. We need to direct. Don't let them go off course. It's got to be within God's realm and God's will. You hear me, everybody? Don't make them live something that you didn't live. Or maybe something you did. Listen, you know, I would have had, if I'd have had a son, you know what I wanted that boy to do? I'd want him to play baseball. Because I played baseball. I played baseball for years and years and years and years. That's my thing. And would I want him to go in the military? Of course. Would I want him to jump out of airplanes? Of course. That's what I did. And I would hope that God would have slapped me around a couple of times and said, that was you. That was you. I have other plans for this kid. Can you handle that, Tony? Can you handle that? Can you let your children, can you let your husband, can you let your wife, can you let your friends, can you let your friends be who God wants them to be in Christ and not who you want them to be? How many of us would be much happier if we quit trying to make people be what we want them to be? I've done that in my life. Have you? Will you try to get people to accept your standards, eat your food, do what you like? And I appreciate that nobody in this church has tried to make me eat tuna casserole. I want to thank you so much for that. Nobody has ever pushed that on me, and I'm really grateful. I've had some jokes pulled on me, but the real thing never happened. And I've had a bunch of you tell me, I love tuna casserole, what's wrong with you? And my answer is, I'm just weird. I just can't handle it. But we don't push it on people. And let me close with this. You see, you've kind of hit all the way around. Let's bring it into focus. We'll try to do that right here. Every day, listen to me. This is not a Sunday morning thing. This is every day. Every day, you must choose God's character. You hear me? Every day, you and I must choose God's character or we'll never have it. It's not automatic. I can't pray today, God. And you say, what is God's character? And that's what we're going to close on. And here's what he says. What is true? God is true. And when I say, I choose, God, your character, what am I choosing today? I'm choosing your truth about what you say about me, about the church, about life, about politics. You think that's not in there? It is. Read in your Bible. God tells you about all these things. I choose, God, what you say is true and not what I think is true. And I was sent a text, and I've had to really think about this. I'll paraphrase the text, but it's a good one to pose here this morning. And the text was this. It said, Tony, do we believe in God through American theology or Bible theology? I'm still thinking on that one, and I thought, I wonder if I'm believing in God, am I seeing God from American point of view or from the biblical point of view? That's a good question, isn't it? And sometimes I took it a little further and I thought, I think sometimes, Tony, you, if you're a little honest with yourself, you kind of like to look at scriptures through a Texas point of view. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say is truth? Not what your old denomination or anybody else. What does the Bible say is the truth? What does the Bible say is the honorable thing to do? What does the Bible say is the right thing to do? And the pure thing, and the lovely thing, and the admirable thing. You see, that's where it all boils down to. And he said, if you want to live a good life, you know, you choose God's best to live God's best. You want to come out ahead and take the high road? Then you fix your heart and mind not on what somebody else says or what America says or what I say. I have my opinions. I have my opinions about politics, about life. Oh, yeah, I've got them about everything. If you don't know how to raise kids, just come and ask me. I'll especially help you raise your kids. You know, I can't tell you how to raise mine, but I'll tell you how to raise yours. Aren't we all like that? You know, if you want to know how to fix something or what's wrong in your life, and I'm just messing with you because I try hard not to go around doing that, and I don't preach those things. But I will tell you what works. You focus your heart and your mind on what God says is true, and I'll tell you what God says is true about you. He loves you, and he'll never leave you or forsake you, and you can put your life on that, and you believe in him, and your name's written in his book of life, and he'll never let you go. That's what he says about you, and a whole bunch of other things. And he says, this is what's honorable. You know what's honorable in the scripture? Honorable is, I am a child of the living God. My name is written in his book of life. I don't have to act like some idiot out here. I'm going to act like a child of the living God. How would a prince or a princess act? I'm inheriting the kingdom of God. Why belittle myself? Why live trashy or whatever in my heart and mind? Give it to God and take on some class and some character in Jesus Christ. You with me? Walk with your head up. I belong to him. I have a whole kingdom waiting for me. And what does he say? I'm preparing a big old place for a mansion for you. And I may not get my ranch here, but I'll get it there. And he says, you want you to do what's right, meaning righteous and pure and lovely and admirable. He just simply says, think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise and give God the glory. Get your heart and mind off of politics, off of the crud. Why'd I take this off? You can't hear me when I do that. Get your heart and mind off the crud, the politics, off of what's happening down the street, down the highway. For me, what's happening, yeah, we call it down the road. And when it seems like it's just really going bad, that's when you stand there and say, you know what? It doesn't make any difference what my circumstances say. And I feel a little low right now, God, and I'm worried about this and all this stuff. But you know, God, it doesn't matter because you knew about this. You knew what was going to happen before it happened. You know all things, and you have an answer for all things, and you're the great provider, and your word says you will provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Your word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Your word says that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that nobody can take us out of your hand. Your word says that our names are written in your book of life as believers in Jesus Christ. So nothing is going to take me out of this. And I'm going to give it to you, and it's going to be okay, because my God is the God, and he's Lord of lords and King of kings. And I'm his son, you're his son, you're his daughter, we're his kids. And we've got it made. We win. In Jesus' name, we win.